Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. Well, it's right there in the Bible many times. Seems God doesn't just get mad, he gets filled with wrath mad. And since he's our example, I guess there are times when we should too, right? So what does it look like when we have the wrath of God in our hearts as opposed to, say, the wrath of Satan? How do we respond to it? Let's put that wrath question to Dr. Jennings today, who joins us via Skype. Dr. Jennings, what do we need to know?
So, you know, in the Bible, it says in Revelation 12:12 that woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, for he knows his time is short. And so the Bible describes a wrath that comes from the evil one. But as you've mentioned, the Bible also describes in many places, for instance, Romans 1:18, that God has wrath. Several questions. Is there a difference between Satan's wrath and God's wrath? Do we understand wrath to be the same functionally, regardless of who the agent of that wrath is? Do we see God and Satan acting in similar ways, using similar powers, and causing similar outcomes? Or do we differentiate God's wrath and Satan's wrath? But do we differentiate them by motive only? For instance, saying that God's wrath is when he acts in justice, where Satan's wrath is when he acts in selfishness, but they both use the same powers and cause the same harms.
That's a very important topic, Dr. Jennings, because ever since I was a child, the idea of God being wrathful did not sit well with me. I was afraid of God because of all that wrath. I'd hear these stories and all this wrath going on. And I got to say, Dr. Jennings, it scared me a little bit.
Well, the Bible is clear that we don't want to be on the receiving end of Satan's wrath. But it's also clear we don't want to be on the receiving end of God's wrath. That from the experience of the one upon whom wrath is unfolded, it's a bad experience. But the question then arises, does that mean that the actions, the powers, the methods being employed from God and Satan are the same? And the Bible revelation is absolutely not. In fact, the wrath of God and that of Satan are exact opposites. God's wrath functions exactly the opposite of how Satan's wrath functions. And the way we understand this is, how do you understand God's law versus Satan's law? If we view the world through the systems of this world and how created beings, and Satan is a created being, governs, they make up rules, we call them laws, and those rules or laws require external enforcement through inflicted punishments. Thus, wrath in a system like that is the use of external power to cause pain, harm, suffering on the object of one's wrath. Throughout human history, the Bible reveals God has been using his power to shield us from Satan's wrath, to hold back the four winds of strife, to put the hedge of protection around his saints. He has been warring against the principalities and powers of darkness. Satan's wrath is the use of power to cause harm. God's wrath is the opposite. It is when God stops using power to protect us from harm.
Okay, all right. So there is wrath on both sides of this, but how that wrath manifests itself is the opposite of each other, right?
That's exactly right. So God is the creator, the builder of reality. His laws are the template upon which life and health operate, and breaking his laws, like tying a plastic bag over your head or jumping off a building, directly cause harm, and unless God is intervening to suspend or prevent that harm. Harmony with God and his character of love is what brings life and health, if that makes sense. And God uses power to sustain his creation and hold at bay the harm that comes from when we break his law. This is the plan of salvation he's working out. And God's wrath occurs when he respects the choices of rebellious people who refuse his salvation, grace, mercy, love, truth, and insist on going their own way. God eventually sets them free to reap what they have sown. And this is ultimately the wrath of God. And the only thing that you reap there is pain and suffering. This is what Paul says in Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain. Creation of the world, God's invisible qualities and eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So what Paul is saying is God's creation reveals how God runs things, and God's wrath is being revealed against those who suppress this truth, who prefer lies to truth, who reject how God has created things and do things their own way. And Paul goes on to say in verse 24, 26, and 28, three times, therefore, what does God do? God gives them up. He lets them go. He hands them over to reap what they have chosen in their own life.
I can certainly see why you said we don't want to be on the receiving end of either Satan's wrath or God's wrath. I don't want God to let me go, Dr. Jennings. I don't want God to set me free. I want God involved in my life. I want God to love me in spite of the fact that I'm a sinner, I'm a bad person, and all the bad things I've ever done, I don't want God to let me go. I don't want God's wrath. Am I on the right track saying that?
God always loves you from his heart, from his actions, from his activities. The problem is when we're in rebellion against God, when we prefer our own way, we do not receive his healing love into our hearts. Mm. Our fear, our distrust, our selfishness caused us to run and hide like Adam ran and hid in Eden. And God chased after him because God still loved him. Yes, but until Adam would open his heart, he was not receiving the love that was being poured out from God. So when we focus on God's actions and attitudes, God is always love and is always pouring out love. Mm-hmm. But we may not benefit from that love if we don't open our hearts to receive it.
How did we get to the place, Dr. Jennings, where we think Satan's wrath is God's wrath? Where'd that come from?
It came from one simple lie that has embedded itself in the human psyche and infects all of Christianity. And that lie is God's law functions like human law, mm-hmm. a system of rules mm-hmm. that he makes up, and justice is law enforcement. Therefore, that means the infliction of punishment. And thus it is taught that God is the source of inflicted pain, suffering, and death. Now, what's very interesting, if you read scripture, it says in Hebrews 2:14 that Jesus Christ took upon himself human flesh that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Mm-hmm. And Paul writes in Corinthians that the last enemy to be destroyed that Jesus destroys is death itself. So the Bible tells us that death is a power wielded by Satan that Christ destroys, yet all of Christianity teaches that God wields the power of death and he whips it out and throws it down as wrath upon the wicked.
Right.
And why do they say that? Because they believe God's law works like human law. If he doesn't do that, then there's no justice. Everybody gets away with everything. And that is the root lie to it all. When we come back to worship God as creator, and we realize that his laws are the laws upon which reality is built by the creator to function. They include the physical laws, like the laws of gravity and physics and health, but also the moral laws, the laws of love and truth and liberty, how our minds and relationships are designed to function. When you worship him as creator, you understand there is no life and health outside of harmony with God. Sin takes us out of harmony. Sin is lawlessness, takes us out of harmony with the law, and we will die of that condition unless we allow the Savior to restore us to harmony, and that's the new covenant. I will write my law in your hearts and minds. It's not I'm going to write a list of rules. I'm going to put the living protocols upon which I built life to operate back inside your inmost being so you stop living lives of fear and selfishness and start living lives of love and trust.
Are there any times, are there any instances in the Old Testament, say, where the Bible writers got it confused, where they put down, this is the wrath of God that caused this death and destruction, when it really was the wrath of Satan that caused the death and destruction?
There are many times when God is described as doing something which he allowed. For instance, if you read the accounts in the Old Testament of King Saul, and how King Saul, the first king of Israel, died. One account in Samuel will tell you that King Saul pulled out his sword and fell on his own sword and committed suicide. Uh-huh. And in another account, it actually says that God put Saul to death for his wickedness and disobedience. Now, think that through. The Bible says God put him to death. But in fact, it's described very clearly that he fell on his own sword and committed suicide. Why? Because he was abandoned of God. God let him go his own rebellious way when he pursued the witch of Endor and rejected God and went after false gods. And what happens when you go away from God? You lose hope. You become discouraged. You become despondent, and you end up like Judas, who also took his own life. Yes, yes. And God let him go his own way. And so in that sense, God stopped intervening to protect him from his own self-destruction.
So we can actually say that God's wrath is letting us do our thing without him stopping us if we so choose?
Paul specifically says that, Romans 1:18, God's wrath is being revealed against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. That's active present tense. Mm-hmm. Then he goes on to say three times that therefore God gave them up or let them go.
Yeah.
A scholarly commentary called Hard Sayings of the Bible, published by InterVarsity Press, commenting on these verses about God's wrath, says the following. In some sense, God's wrath is built into the very structure of created reality. In rejecting God's structure and establishing our own, in violating God's intention for the creation and substituting our own intentions, we cause our own disintegration. They go on to describe this in detail from Romans 1:18 through 31. And then they say this: in light of these reflections, the common notion that God punishes or blesses in direct proportion to our sinful or good deeds cannot be maintained. God loves us with an everlasting love, but the rejection of that love separates us from its life-giving power. The result is disintegration and death. And that's what God's wrath is, letting us disintegrate and die because we insist on separating from him. And thus, Satan's wrath is the use of active power to inflict harm. God's wrath is when he stops using his loving, protective, healing, and saving power that has been holding the harm at bay and lets us reap what we have sown. And thus, Paul writes in Galatians 6:8, those who sow to the carnal nature from that nature reap destruction, not from God.
This world is so wrapped up in blaming God for things. An airplane crashes or a hurricane comes. What do they call it? They call it an act of God.
Sometimes God acts in nature to cause things. We see many cases in the Old Testament. God brought a flood. God destroyed Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. God brought fire down from heaven and destroyed the altar when Elijah called fire down. Sometimes God works in nature and sometimes he doesn't. The point is, when God is doing it, it's always therapeutic and some purpose to achieve the plan of salvation. He's not punishing sin for it. When we just looked at the act itself, you have to understand the context. Like a surgeon sometimes will amputate a leg. The surgeon amputating a leg is quite different than a pirate marauding and cutting off someone's leg.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, in the 30 seconds we have left here, give us some really good news. You've been talking about hard issues here and hard sayings. Give us some good news about God right now.
The good news is that God is always for us. And when you hear about God's wrath, you should be asking, what is going on with the people that God finds it necessary to let go of his merciful, gracious, healing power and let them reap what they've chosen in his life? That's what God's wrath is. If you have the idea that God is using power to cause harm, then you're actually presenting God in the character of Satan rather than the character of Jesus Christ.
CommonReason.com is the website. Listener, I invite you to go there and learn many, many more things, good things about God, how God acts and who God is. Dr. Jennings, who joined us today via Skype, thank you so much for sharing all of this wonderful insights into God, and we really appreciate it. It helps us see God in a much clearer light.
Thank you, Charles.
This program was sponsored by Common Reason Ministries, and listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.